We probably don't give prayer the credit that it deserves, so I appreciate that. That's very, very good. As we look at the lesson today, I want us to think about keeping God in our thoughts daily. You know, what the topic of the year is when the children ask the questions, what do we do with that? And as we looked at the verse briefly, and we'll read through that again, it's very, very important, I think, that we use every opportunity that we have to keep God in our thoughts. If you look at Psalm 77:12, it says, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. All that God went through with Israel was to show not only Israel, but all the worlds around and all of the nations around. They feared Israel for what God had done in Egypt. And for us today, it's placed just as strong. It's important for us to think about what God did. Psalm 119:27, make me to understand thy way of thy precepts, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. Again, more about those wondrous works that God's done. Psalm 119:15-16, I will meditate in thy precepts and will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The importance of not forgetting God's word. And that's what we're going to look at as we work through this tonight. We'll read through this one more time because I think it's worth getting in our minds. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, which speaks to our topic for the year, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. This one's a little difficult today. We don't walk, but from the car to wherever. So we're almost driving all the time. So that's going to be the application today. It's going to be more about when we're driving. We don't walk nearly as much as we should. And when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. In several of your houses, you've got a plaque of some sort with a verse, or sometime on the wall there will be a verse put onto the wall. And I think that's exactly the concept he's talking about here. How do you keep it in front of you? How do we keep God's words in front of us so that we don't forget them? Well, we're going to talk about the walking, which now is driving, and the driving time. And think about, we all have to travel. We're all in the car more than we want to be, more than likely. And there's ways to use that time wisely, and there's ways to waste it. And unfortunately, we probably waste a lot of it because we're often listening to this or that, or the news, which has no value tomorrow or the next day. It's only today, and it changes, and there's little value. But can we make God part of that journey? And so that's what I want us to look at as we look at road signs and as we think about that tonight. You see a road sign, there's an opportunity there to apply that to God's word. And not that we always do this, but it's just something to think about. There's options out there as we think of how can we talk more about the Bible and how can we apply it more. One of the road signs that I think is interesting, and we'll talk about in a second, is just the state signs. The kids, when we go across the bridge over toward Kentucky, when have we gone into the next state? When are we there yet? And that next state, you think about all the people in that state. Well, let's look at Mark 8:36-37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The importance of a human soul on this planet that has 8+ billion of us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, the denominations around us have almost convinced us that everyone's saved unless you do something terrible and go to jail or whatever for some terrible, terrible crime. But God says it differently. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. So we're all lost, and Christ came to save. So we're not condemning you by teaching you. We're giving you a way out. And I think that's what we always have to keep that in mind, because the world has changed that on us. I like this one because you just think of all these road signs, Indiana and Indianapolis and Columbus. You can argue with me on these. I almost changed these again. If you go the state or the city or the province proper versus all the surrounding, the numbers like triple if you go the surrounding counties. But Columbus, 52,000. Indianapolis, just under a million. Louisville, it's about 323, but it's gone down from where it was. It was much more than that, seemingly, a few years ago. Indiana, 6 million, almost 7 million souls in Indiana alone. Then you go to America, you get 336 million. And then the world, we used to always say 7 billion, but that's wrong now. It's 8 plus, and it's growing every day. There's a counter on the computer. You can watch how they predict it's going up. Every minute, souls are being born into this world. So if you think of these road signs not as just a sign of a state, but the sign of a state full of souls, full of people, that's a different perspective. And I think that's a perspective that we need to have when we go into a different area. Or when you go all the way to Africa, the same story. There's just souls there all over. And China, of course, full of so many people. So a lot of people in a lot of this world that we live in. This is a highway sign. So Highway 23 was the other Columbus. It was prominent there, but it reminds me of Psalm 23, of course. And I think that's one that we should, if ever there's one to have your kids learn, this one will stick with you all the way to the end. You can take this one all the way to the grave. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the sufficiency in Christ, what we have, the peace, the righteousness, the support that we get from God, and that comfort, even in the end, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's comforting. That's something that the rest of the world doesn't have if they don't know Christ and they don't know our God. A closer sign, sign 65, I thought I'd look at that, and has that psalm got anything in it that we might want to apply? And I tell you, you think it would be from this area, because you either take a right at the corn this year or you take a right at the beans this year, because it's either one or the other every year, and it's even in this passage. Let's look at this. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Sion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O that thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me as for our transgressions. Thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, and thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the spring thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They all sing. As you're just driving down the road, to me, that is just like you're driving through the middle of Indiana or Illinois, either one, and you see the cows and the horses and the plowing that they're doing, preparing for the next year. And that's the God that we have that provides all of that to us. So that's one I think that we can think about. So now let's just get into some different signs, and we'll look at these stop signs. If you see a stop sign, I love the verse in Job 37:14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. The world would just have us run in circles Always be busy. Always go to the next topic. Don't finish the first one. Just jump to the next one. And I think that's what the world would have us do. But God says, stop. Stand still and think a minute. Consider what I've done for you. Consider what is around you. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Frequently, we just need to stop and think. I think that's one that Job kind of got the hard lesson down that path, but hopefully we can get that lesson without going through what Job did. And then, of course, the kids all say green means go, and I like that because Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Much of what Brother Raddatz got to do some of recently, and as mentioned this morning, we're supporting many preachers throughout the world, and also here in this very town. It's everywhere. And so I think that's important, that requirement that we have to go. Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So the blessings that we have are ours to give, but only if we teach others. They'll never see them if we don't let them know it. So the importance of going is critical. The school crossing signs, there's plenty of those in this town. John 3, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, that was one of the common things that Paul would mention of those that he had taught. It's also true of us, of our kids and of our grandkids and our great-grandkids. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're all in the category, I think, of learning from that standpoint. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that rightly dividing is critical. I think the world struggles on which is in the Old Testament and which is in the New today. We have to divide that properly and realize that we're under the New Testament and teach ourselves and continue to study. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They had those Old Testament scriptures, and all along they had Christ sitting in their lap. We've talked some in our class, I think. Moses knew much more of Christ than we probably will ever know, because God told him enough that he could think about the gospel in the future. And he didn't know how it was all going to play out, but he did know more than we think. And searching the scriptures, we see Christ from beginning to end. He was there at creation, and he'll be there in the end as the judge. A little bit more on children at play. And verily I said it unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one of these little children in my name, receiveth me. So as we see the slow children signs, think about the blessings that we have with children and what we can learn from them. How they fall, cry, and get back up. But they don't ever just stop. I'm just going to quit this walking thing. It's not worth it. I mean, they don't do that. They just keep going. And so I think that's something we can learn. And then Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, they were worried about the children were pestering Jesus. And he said, wait, that's not right. They are what heaven will be made up of. People with those pure hearts and people with those humble attitudes. That's exactly what Christ is looking for as we get there. Now, this is the sign that I haven't seen this one yet, but this to me is the world around us as far as religion goes. There's people that are lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disoriented, and bewildered. That's the denominational world, and I think we've pretty much done a good job of confusing so many people in this world thanks to so many flavors. You just believe your faith, and you believe whatever your truth is, and I'll believe my truth, and there is no truth anymore. And so I think we have to be careful because there is a way, and this sign probably doesn't exist, but if it does, it's in the religious category because people are so confused today. Christ is real clear. He says there's one way, and I'm it. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's pretty much no more questions and no more need to question how to get there. He's given us the path. And Acts 4:12, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's it. If you can't get to Christ, you can't get there. There's no path. And for the world around us, that's very, very confusing. They struggle with that. But that one-way sign, I've gone the wrong way down a one-way a couple times, and that was a real tough ditch that I had to go over when I decided to correct that. Luckily, I didn't hurt the bottom of the car, but I did jump over a few things to get out of that situation. But, you know, it's easy to go the wrong way, and we don't want to do that with our religious and our salvation. The intersection, I think that's another good one. We all come to different crossroads. We have family members that come to crossroads. We have people at work. You can study to a point, and then you've got to make a decision. Okay, I get what you're saying, but I got to think about that, whether I want to go this way or that way. Jeremiah 6:16, we know that verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways or the crossroads and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk therein. The Israelites have a terrible example of just not walking in the paths of God. And we don't want to be in the situation as they were. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he made that against the other 10 tribes. He was standing up against God's people when he said that. He wasn't out in the world just saying that to the world. This was among God's people at the time in the Old Testament. So again, the keep right sign, I like that one because it kind of reminds us to go the right direction. Proverbs 2:20, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteousness, keep the paths of right. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he shall sit on the right upon the throne of his glory, and behold, shall be gathered to the nations. He shall separate them one from another, and as the sheep divideth his sheep from his goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the concept of keeping right and keeping righteous, there's a sign for us. I didn't make that pun, but here's your sign. We may use that before we're over. That you had to be a little older to have seen that commercial, I guess. I'm in the way. I am the way. We've got a lot of people that want to do it their way. I know what you say, but I believe this. Or I know what the Bible says, but I believe this. Well, there's a your way and a my way, but only Christ's way will work. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So that would teach us not to go to what we think is correct just because the world tells us that. And, you know, some think the world's worse today than it's ever been, but I'd have hated to have lived in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot offers his daughters instead of the angels to the men that are at the door, beating the door down. I mean, that was a pretty bad day. Noah's day, pretty bad. The wickedness, the violence, we see a lot of violence today, but I don't think it compares yet to the days of the flood. Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So that goes back to, you know, don't think we can figure out what God wants us to do. We have to read and hear what God wants us to do, which goes back to why that preaching is important, because that's how we can hear, and the preaching has to be from God's word for us to do that. I like the do not enter sign. That's the one if you go the wrong way, you probably went past this one. There's usually a few of these up, and sometimes it happens. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. 1 Peter 3:10-11, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew, that means get away from, avoid. Don't get as close to it as you can, but go the opposite direction. And do good, let him speak peace and ensue it. You know, I think of examples with that situation. You think of Samson, he was the strongest man, but what did he do? He just got as close to Delilah and as close as he could get, and it lost him his eyesight, it lost him his life. You see, Joseph, a weak lad, what does he do when Potiphar's wife goes after him? He runs the other way. He flees and even leaves his coat with her. He just gets out of there. So you see the opposite examples, and the strength of Samson wasn't enough to overcome. But even in the weakness of Joseph, he was able to run and to get out of there. So I think that's a good example for do not enter. You think about the hospital signs, they're usually prominent, so of course you can get to the hospital if you need to. I think of the spiritual side, Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they are they which have no need of a physician, but they are they which are sick, the ones that are whole. If you're whole and you're healthy, you don't need a physician. But they that are sick came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So for those who say, I've done too many bad things, well, that's the one that needs the doctor the most. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all need salvation, and we all need the doctor of Christ. So I think this one is good because he lets us know he came just for us. He came just to save sinners. And then even on the physical side, Matthew 25:44-45, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered, or when saw thee a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. So as the congregation here does an extremely good job of helping others when in need and helping the sick among our group especially, that's important. And as you see the hospital sign, you know, who's there that we need to see and who's there that we need to help? It was funny, as my dad would be taking me to school when I was just a little kid, several times we'd show up at the hospital, and he'd say, oh no, and, you know, you're going to be late today, because he went to the hospital every day to see somebody. Usually there's always somebody sick at the hospital, and so he would accidentally take me there and forget to take me to school. So that was just my childhood. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Christ wanted to help all that he could. The poor will be with you, the sick will be with you, but where you can do good to all men. I think that's important. And then you've got the no left turns and the no right turns. You put the two together, don't go right or don't go left. So Proverbs 4:23-27, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and a perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So I think that's interesting that he reminds us, don't watch where you're going. And that's, you know, we've talked about, as people fall away, you don't just take one big right turn. You veer a little, or maybe a little to the left, and you can go either way, and it's wrong. Too far either direction. So watch where you're going and stay in the path. And then watch your step. I added steps just to put that. There's a lot that don't like, even hearing this these days. Hear Romans 10:17, believe Hebrews 11:6, repent and confess and be baptized and then live faithfully. But this is what we're given in the Scriptures. If you put a Excel spreadsheet of what happens through Acts and you say which ones did what, they all do these, or it's implied that they did them. So that's the only way. And going back to my way or your way, if it's my way, fine, do whatever you'd like. But if you want Christ's way, he simply gives us the path, and these steps are critical. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have put on Christ have been baptized into Christ, and have put on Christ. The key there, I love Ephesians 1:3. It says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And then you ask the question, well, then how many are out of Christ? If there's no spiritual blessings outside of Christ, we got to figure out how to get into Christ. And here's the path. Excuse me. Then once we're in Christ, there's this the U-turn concept of yield to the right. If U-turns bother me, because people do them probably when they're not supposed to, and they just do them all over, and when cars are coming, they'll just U-turn anyway, and it drives me crazy. But when it comes to religion, we have to change from our old ways to not new our ways, but to God's way. And I think that yield to the right turn is important. Judas he was sorry for what he did, gave back the money, but he didn't turn back to God. Peter was sorry for what he did, but he turned back to God. Totally different, and all within our choices, but that's important. So Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That repentance is important. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So not only change our direction, because some people do change from a terrible life to something better, but they never change to what God said do. They change to what men say do. So that's critical, and we have to remember that. I love the reserve parking. A lot of people park in this parking space too, I see. And some have stickers and some don't. But I think for us, it's an important thought. John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing a reserved place. We have a sticker, if we're obedient, that's awaiting us, and we'll be able to park in a mansion in heaven someday. So I think that's nice to know that it's there for us. And yet there's effort, as this says, permit required. There's a requirement that you do what God says do. And that's the difficulty. So once even we're in Christ, I love the rough road ahead. You don't see too many of those here. You used to see a lot more up north because the ice and the roads are terrible. And out west as well, I think. But the rough roads, I think, is part of what the Christian has to deal with. And sometimes we think that shouldn't be. Why do I have to put up with this? Because I'm doing things that are right, and we still go through issues and trials and tribulations. James 1:2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That's tough to do, to thank God for giving me the opportunity to be stronger. And that's hard, especially in the middle of it. 1 Peter 1:4-7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So these trials, if we're in Christ, are adding up to making us better and making us stronger. 2 Timothy 2:3, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So I think we can think about that as we see rough road ahead. Another one, I think, is the traction control. I kind of like that. I've got one of these buttons in my car. I can't tell that it does any different, but they say, I'm sure I paid for it. But 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season or due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's hard, I think, for all of us to do, to cast our cares on Christ. It's easy to want to take all these cares and we'll just deal with them ourselves. But that means we're leaving out part of the package, so to speak. We're not taking advantage of all that God's provided. Philippians 4:6, he says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And I think that's underlined. That's important. If we go back to thanksgiving enough, then it sure puts us back in perspective. If we leave that out, we can start complaining about many things. But we always look around and see how thankful we are for what we have. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ. And I think sometimes those of us who have enough, we're not going to starve to death, and we're not going to, those kind of things aren't, we got clothes, those things are covered. It's the thoughts that might be the most important part for us to watch. And he says here that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ. So that's important. If we keep the thoughts in the right place, then he can be our traction control. He can keep us on the highway, even though there might be some rough road ahead. Then there's the yield sign, Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness unto God. So beware and don't be doing things that are not comely of a Christian. Then Romans 6:16-18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey. So if we're habit-wise, if our pattern is going a certain direction, our life is following those habits. So we have to really watch the smaller habits add up to our life when they're all said and done. So we have to be careful. And then no U-turn from the standpoint of once we start, we need to stick with it and not turn around and go the other direction. It won't help us. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So as we see the trials, as we see the temptations and the tough days ahead, just don't turn back. Just keep going forward. Philippians 3:13-14, I think Paul understood well. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You know, I love to watch the pitcher finish when the runners are running right at the... I don't care too much about the rest of the run. I just like to see the finish line. And the one that wins is the one that just kind of slowed down and just kind of trotted on in, right? No, the one that wins is the one that stuck their nose. They may win just by the tip of their nose. They just stuck a little bit out there, just far enough. So they didn't give up. The last breath they had, they just gave it all they had. So I pressed toward the mark for the prize. I love the way that picture comes in my head together. And then this one, this had to have come from Texas. I'm not quite sure. That's a rattlesnake. And I like that sign because it's pretty much a dead end there. For the wages of sin is death. And beware of the devil. I think we sometimes forget that there are things out there that can get us and that would love to overtake us. So 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Remember that faith, we talked about that earlier in some lessons, but how important our faith is and how how that's got to be grounded in the Word, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So that concept that we can turn the wrong way is there, and that dead end could be there for us if we're not faithful to the end. So that's important. And then I like that construction in progress. This means you just lost 20 minutes to an hour of your driving time if you're on the highway often. But it kind of reminds me that Christians are just that, a work in progress. 2 Peter 1:5-10, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It's an additive thing over time. We're adding these things to our lives. We're becoming better. We don't have to be there all at once. No one can get there all at once. And even Paul says, I press, not having apprehended. I'm not there yet. And if anybody would be closer, Paul would be there with all the trials and tribulations that he went through for Christ. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And then you drop down, it says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So that's how we do. We do these things, then we won't fail and we won't fall. Persons at work, I like that sign as well. I had Ezekiel tell me what some of these meant. I should have written it down. There were some really good ones. Figuring out what these pictures were for him was fun. In John 9:4, Christ said, I must work the work of him that has sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. He only had 33 years. We have longer, many of us, but we don't know how long we have. We could have today, tomorrow, or it could be it tonight. So I think doing what we can do now is critical. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's the key there. The labor in the Lord is not vain if we keep it up. And then closing down shortly, no parking. I think it's important that we don't park as Christians. We have to keep learning, or you're actually U-turning if you're not careful. James 1:25, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then, of course, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. So really, the Christian doesn't get retirement. They just continue till it's done. You can't always do what you used to could do. That's just by the nature of what our body lets us do. But doing all we can, I think, is all he asks. So that's the key. And then there are opportunities where detours do happen. And I think if they do happen, then we have to fix it. And sometimes we have to go a detour and it takes longer, but your goal is to always, with a detour, do what? Get back onto the road that you just detoured. That's the goal, this thing has got to take me back to where I'm supposed to be. Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick, except thou repent. And Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness. And then Galatians 6:1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. So the concept of detour is out there. It can happen. And the goal is simply to get back from that detour and get them back on track. And that's all of our responsibilities, to try to get everyone back on track and keep us on the road of Christ. Then the left lane must go left and the right lane must go right. You know, there's a point where we won't get to choose which direction we go, and that's at the end. John 5:27-29, and hath given you him, Christ, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. So there's a day where you don't get to make your choice. You'll either go right or you'll go left, depending on what God says. And then we're all hoping for the rest area. And I think I like this one, because that's what this is all for. The whole purpose of going through this life is to get us to this rest area. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You shall find rest unto your soul. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So it's for all of us. This rest day is coming if we stay faithful to the end. So I went through those kind of quick. There's a lot of signs there. But that was kind of the overview there of some different signs that are out and about. And hopefully we can put some spiritual thoughts to them and apply them to our lives. And the themes that are in there are the themes straight from the Scriptures. They're strictly from the Bible, so we can think about that. So for any tonight, if you have made a detour and you need to detour back and get back and make that U-turn and get back to Christ, that's important. If you haven't come to Christ, you watch your step and you work your way into it. We're here tonight to make that happen. If you're subject to the invitation either way, it's Christ's invitation, it's not mine. But if you're subject, come tonight as we stand and sing.